Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is Tom, or Robots, your host. Lotus has some very important things going on today. Well, not just today, but for the next, I guess, the rest of his life. The big news is that he and his wife, I guess we'll call her Lady Lotus, have had a child. They have a little girl. So big congratulations to them, first-time parents. And I'm sure they're going through all of the things that we all go through when you have your first kid. So congratulations to both of them. I am absolutely thrilled for them. Lotus is going to be an awesome dad. His wife's going to be an awesome mom. They're going to be wonderful parents. And I'm so excited for them to just really enjoy this. And who knows, be introducing this child to Elder Scrolls games, you know, a decade or so from now when maybe they're old enough to play them. But today's episode is just me, and I have a concept that I wanted to throw out there. We're going to take a break from the history lessons and the going through all the different chapters of ESO as we've been doing. We'll get back to that in a future episode. But in this episode this week, I wanted to pitch an idea, something that I have been thinking about, and something that creates a clickbaity title like the title for this episode. The title in this episode is The Elder Scrolls 6 Will Be the Final Elder Scrolls Game. And I mean that in a very specific way. Some people will look at that title and go, what the heck are you talking about? And then they'll turn on the episode and they'll want to yell at me and be like, no, that can't be the case. This game series is very, very popular. And of course, they're going to keep making games. And maybe you might be thinking that I'm referring to this as the final Todd designed Elder Scrolls game, because he's talked about how he's sticking around to work on this game, and then who knows what happens after that. Maybe he retires, maybe he moves on to other things. That's not what I'm talking about either. What I'm talking about today is the concept of the next Elder Scrolls game being a platform that they can iterate on indefinitely. And this goes back to some quotes that Todd has said in the last year or two when discussing the development of Starfield and the next Elder Scrolls game. And this is very similar to a concept that I actually put out on the Fallout Lorecast this week as well, because I think it applies to both. Bethesda is designing both of these games, and we know that they're working on Elder Scrolls 6, and then most likely they will be working on Fallout 5 after that. But what does this mean for the future of these games, and how is the landscape of RPG design changing over time? Well, we're watching it happen live. We are watching as Skyrim just gets older and older, and they continue to drop updates for Skyrim, including Creation Club content, some of which I've played through recently. And then Fallout is getting these kinds of updates, and we're watching in Fallout 76 that they are learning, and it's taken a number of years, but they're learning how to create a game and a game world that you can iterate on and keep expanding and designing indefinitely. And this isn't a new concept. Fallout 76 is a games as service kind of game, which learned from the MMO model of this concept of giving people a lot of endgame content, and then regular yearly or bi-yearly updates, or at least the big updates, come out every year or every 2 years. And then they expand the game world a little bit. And in the meantime, they drop these other updates and these other little details and little changes and tweaks and patches and all sorts of things. And so you might be thinking right now, dear God, Tom, do not recommend that they turn Elder Scrolls 6 into an MMO. That's not what I'm recommending. We have an Elder Scrolls MMO. It's called ESO, and they've used this model for over a decade now. It's been over a decade, and the model works. But you might be saying, okay, but that works for MMOs, and that works for games as service. I want a single player Elder Scrolls experience, and I don't want any of that other garbage. I don't want grinding for gear. I don't want to have to do dungeons in order to get the next gear set, and I don't want all the gamey stuff. I just want a world that I can immerse myself in, that I can get lost in, that is huge, that allows me to roleplay my character however I want, that has tons of lore, tons of items, places that I can explore. Give me Skyrim 2 is basically what most of the community would say to that. And I 100% agree. I am not disagreeing with that concept at all. What I am saying is that The Elder Scrolls 6 will be more than just Skyrim 2. And they've been hinting at this for a long time. So let's take a look at one of the things that Todd Howard brought up when discussing Starfield. This discussion happened, I believe this was an interview about a year ago when they were talking about Starfield and it was gearing up for the launch, and they were discussing the size of the game and how the development went and what they were planning for with this game. And he was talking about how they plan to make a game that they can build and support as a platform for at least the next 5 to 10 years. Because that's what Skyrim turned into. That's what Fallout 4 has kind of turned into. They've been using Skyrim and Fallout 4 as a test bed for this. And the steps are obvious. First of all, those games are highly moddable. So they built these communities around these games. And they're two of the most modded games ever. Skyrim is the number one most modded game in existence. And that led to people continually expanding the game, but also discovering the game. People who were not old enough to play the game 12, 13 years ago. People who discovered the game because people were still making videos about it 5 years after release, 10 years after release. The modding community has led to the longevity of these games. And that has taught them something. What it has taught them is that you don't just have to release an RPG in today's environment and then iterate on it with a few DLC over the next few years and then leave it alone. This is not the world that Morrowind released into. The world is different. And on top of that, the hardware has changed. Modern consoles, modern PCs, the quality that you can get through those platforms with the modern game engines that they're using. Heck, even the version of the creation engine that existed during the development of Skyrim was good enough to create an environment that people were happy to return to over and over and over again, as long as they had more content and more things to do in that world. This is the world we currently live in. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that Elder Scrolls 6 doesn't need improved graphics, improved mechanics, interesting new ways to use physics and all the video gamey things you can do in order to create a really interesting simulation of a world to live in. Of course, they're going to continue expanding those things. What I am saying is that with today's technology, everything is slowing down. The advancements that we made over the last decade are much smaller, or at least less consequential, than the advancements we made the previous decade in game technology. You go back to the early 2000s, to the world that Morrowind was released in, and the fact that Morrowind had a world where you could pick everything up, where the biggest thing in the graphics for Morrowind, the biggest surprise was the idea that you could use shaders to make water look like it was wet. Like, that was a huge step forward back in 2002. In 2024 or in 2026 or 2027, whenever the next Elder Scrolls game comes out, that technology is old hat. The idea that, oh, well, now we've got ray tracing so we can have actual reflection and shadows and really dark environments. That's great. That's wonderful. but it's not the huge jump in tech that has happened in the past. My point is that with today's tech, if you release a game with, let's say, the Starfield engine in the Elder Scrolls world, you can continue to iterate on that tech, but it really isn't going to move the needle a whole lot. It won't become a huge selling point for the game because the people who want these games just want good stories, a world where they can build their character, a place they can live in, and something that they can come back to, something they can play for a few months, put it aside, load it back up, add some new content in, whether that's official DLC releases or it's mods or whatever, play in that world again, and then rinse and repeat. It's not about the tech at this point. It's about the content. And so one of the things that I think they've realized over this time period is that in developing Starfield, they need to make sure that they can build a game that they can design to iterate on for 10 years. That they're not going to be in the situation like they were with Skyrim, where they had to release a updated edition of the game in order to add some other features that couldn't have been done when the game actually was launched. And then a decade plus later, update a new big patch to the game that breaks a bunch of the mods and things like that. If they can design the game engines to be much more modular, much more moddable, and the kinds of things that are the kind of game engine that works well for everybody, for the developer, for the modders, and for the consumers who want to add in those new features over time, and they can make it easy enough, then what I'm saying is that the game engine that Elder Scrolls 6 is built on might be dynamic and complex and consumer friendly enough that they don't have to make a big game engine jump in order to release a sequel. Here's the picture. Imagine you load up Elder Scrolls 6. You get in the game, you start playing, you're enjoying all the new graphics, all the new stuff you can do, the new character animations, the world is much more detailed and engaging. And all of those things are at a level where 10 years from now, 20 years from now, you would still be happy to play in that world. It's not going to look as dated as a game from 20 years back to today. And so you play in that world. And you play through as much of the content as you are happy to play through in the first few weeks or months, however long you enjoy playing in that world, before something else shiny comes along and distracts you and you go off and play something else. I know that happens to me a lot. And then a few months later, you find out, oh, they made a big announcement. At the end of the year, they're going to release a new big DLC. Okay, well, that's par for the course. That is what they've done with Starfield. That's what they did with Fallout. That's what they did with Skyrim. And then another year goes by and they're like, oh, we've got another DLC for you. And you're like, okay, cool. Maybe that's the final big DLC update. Maybe we get these two new zones and these new stories, and that's as far as it's going to go. Well, one of the things I think they've realized is if they had dropped around the time of Fallout 4, let's say just the year before Fallout 4 came out, another new DLC pack for Skyrim that gave us new areas to explore, new adventures to go on, people would have bought that. They would have bought that in very high numbers, maybe even in numbers that eclipsed the total sales of Skyrim at its launch time. Because by 5 years after the game was out, the total number of people who had played it had skyrocketed. Traditionally, when you release a game, you get a certain number of people. Let's say 1 million copies sold. That's 100%. And then if you release DLC, and maybe you get, I don't know, 50, 60% of that population to buy the DLC. And then you release another DLC, and now it's about 40%. And then you release another DLC, and now you're down to about 20, 30% of people who are still interested in picking that up. So you get diminishing returns. It's the same amount of work to put into designing those worlds, but you get diminishing returns. You get paid less for every DLC. And so traditionally, it made more sense to work on a big new game release that you could hype up through marketing or whatever, and then you put that out there, and then all of a sudden you get another big mass of players that you can iterate with DLC on until it's no longer financially feasible or beneficial. But I think what they've realized is that that's not how their game audiences work. Their game audiences continue to find the games. The games continue to sell well a decade later. So if they had dropped a brand new zone, let's say they decided, hey, we're going back to Morrowind in Skyrim, in the Skyrim engine. And I know people are modding these in, these kinds of things in still. People would have bought that, and they would have bought it in higher numbers. And if they had waited another 2 to 3 years and dropped another big zone for Skyrim, people would have bought that again. And if those things were official releases, they would have sold really well. Lots of people download mods, but can you imagine how many people would come back to play through a zone like Vardenfell in the Skyrim engine as officially designed by Bethesda and labeled canon? This is new lore. And if you look at the details on this, it doesn't require an entire design studio to make those updates. An entire design studio needs to be around in order to update the game engine, do all of the art, do all of the dialogue, do all of the story, do all of the zones, the dungeons, the items, all of the things. And there's a ton of things that you need to put into an initial game, especially when it comes down to designing the aesthetic and how the game is going to look, how it's going to work in those terms. But when it comes to these DLC packs, you need a fraction of that group. A lot of those things have already been done for the main game. And so if you can build a second group of developers, that's a fraction of the size, let's say a fifth, a fourth of the same size studio, and you put them on the side to work on these updates, and yet they make a ton of money, that is financially very beneficial to the studio. And like I noted before, I think that this could work. Now, what does that mean for the way Elder Scrolls 6 could work, for the kind of game that that would be? Well, I've got some ideas, and I think they're really cool. But I'll get to those after the mid-break, because we have to go thank our patrons. So don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. We've got some new patrons to welcome. Welcome to Austin, Julian F., Cedric G., Melkor K, I don't know that that's your original first name, but I'm going to be careful and not say your last name. And Jacob H, if that is your first name, your parents are freaking amazing. Who would name their kid Melkor? That's great. Welcome to the Patreon. Hope you're enjoying your ad-free episodes, your t-shirts and stickers and things that you'll get every 3 months if you sign up at those tiers. Also, you can join us on our Patreon chats at the end of every month. And we're so glad that you were here. Thank you so much for your support. Also, we have to shout out our Daedric Prince tier patrons, Blinding Vision, Hircine, Just a Little Bit of Chaos, Kira C, and Peter R. Thank you so much for your continued support. And to all 132 of our patrons who are enjoying all of the things that I mentioned. And, oh, there's like 90-ish. It's not quite 90. Some of them got deleted because they were like nothing episodes. But the early set of episodes that you can get by signing up on Patreon, all of that stuff. Thank you so much for your support. Also, if you'd like to help us out in other ways, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'll read those out on a future episode. I don't have any new ones to read this week. But that means that if you leave one, chances are I'll read it out next week. Also, you can rate the show on Spotify. You can share it with your friends. And we're just so glad that you're here. Thank you for supporting and continuing to support this show. All right, let's get back to the rest of my vision for Elder Scrolls 6.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Cities. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right, so I think I've made my point. They are designing games that are much more easy to iterate on. The game engine for Starfield has been designed in a way where it can become a platform over the next 10 years. I have a feeling they will be iterating in similar ways with this, especially if Shattered Space sells well and the next DLC sells well. It'll be the kind of thing that they can keep on adding new content to indefinitely. And so what does that mean for Elder Scrolls 6? Well, if this works for Starfield, this will definitely be the direction they go with Elder Scrolls 6. And that means some amazing things. Because what if the Elder Scrolls 6 is simply called the Elder Scrolls Tamriel? Or something massive sounding. What if it's not Elder Scrolls Hammerfell or Daggerfall 2 or those kinds of things that people have been debating? What if it's just, or like the Elder Scrolls Nern? And we get a game that starts with the first zone being a place like Hammerfell. But we have a system, a platform, something that they will iterate and add other zones to, kind of like an MMO, but for single players, for people to come back and play that expanded content over decades. What if it's the sort of thing where the game engine is designed in a way where as they update the game engine and patch the game, they're continuing to work on designing and fixing and improving that game engine for whatever the next game is, which is probably Fallout. But while they're doing it, they can patch it and update it in ways that don't break it when it comes to other content. And I know this is a little bit of a pipe dream. I know this is difficult, but if they have geared up to sell content like mods on the Creation Club store, then those mods need to function in a way with the game engine so that if one or the other gets updated, it doesn't break the whole thing because people will be paying money for those. And so if that's part of the vision, then that means that not only can they add in other content, we get the Elder Scrolls Hammerfell 2 to 3 years later, which used to be the cadence that they would release new games. We end up with the Elder Scrolls Daggerfall expansion for this Elder Scrolls 6, Elder Scrolls Nern, we'll just call it. And it's a whole new zone, the same size as the original release, with all of this new content and people you can meet and talk to. And with DLCs in the past, traditionally, they would move you into a new area, right? Like if you want to do the Dragonborn stuff, you have to go to an island, you have to go on a ship and it loads you and all of that stuff. And it feels a bit disconnected from the world that you're in where you can just walk around and go from one place to the next. And sure, there's loading zones into cities and things like that, but the over map, the map of the world is all one continual place. And that I think is part of the magic trick in Skyrim. That's part of what makes Skyrim feel like a real place, is that most of the walking around, most of the world that you're in feels like it's continuous. And yeah, sometimes you load into a dungeon, you load into a city or whatever, but that continuousness of the overland map, I guess you could say, is important. Now, what if, just like with the most recent update for Fallout 76, they make the map bigger? The Fallout 76 map at launch was 4 times the size of Fallout 4's, which was already, I believe, slightly bigger than Skyrim. That map is already huge, and the game engine can handle it. And they just added in a new section of the map that increased it by about, I don't know, 1/6, 1/5 of the size or something like that. It's fairly large. And the map got bigger. What if you load into Hammerfell, and then you download the DLC, and the next time you load into Hammerfell, and you want to just keep going north, you can just keep going north. You don't have to load into Daggerfall. It's a continuation of the map. Now, this plays into other details as well. One of the things that they have designed in the Starfield engine in 2 different ways are vehicles. You have the ships that can fly around in space, but you also have cars that can drive around on the maps, on the planets that you go to. And that part works great. I've tried it out. It works fine. So what if there are ships or horses or things like that that can help you move around better. Maybe an improvement to the Skyrim horses, but what if there's more complexity? What if there are carts? What if there are, and I think the big detail here is ships that are on the water. So as you move north of Hammerfell, you can get on a ship and sail across the ocean. And maybe there are things out there in the water that are worth exploring. Maybe Hammerfell and Daggerfall then become consistently designed so that everything is to the scale they want it to be. And then they continue to iterate on this more. So after Daggerfall, what if they took the Skyrim map and tacked it on and made it a place that you could go visit a few hundred years later with new updates, and you can go to some of these old holds, some of these other locations, some of the dungeons you've already been in. But what if there's some sort of catastrophic thing that happens in the world, and all of a sudden, all of that feels new again? Or what if they head south, down into Cyrodiil, and we get to explore the places that we were at in Oblivion, but now in this new engine, in a single-player game with new content? And they can continue to iterate on this in a much faster pace than having to put all the resources together and keep on doing new games. And the fact that it takes forever, it takes them 5 to 6, 7 years to release a new game now. If the Elder Scrolls 6 comes out, let's do this thought experiment. Elder Scrolls 6, best case scenario, comes out in 2026. It's going to take longer than that. And you can make fun of me on future episodes if I'm wrong, but let's say it comes out in 2026. And then let's just say 5 years. 5 years until Fallout 5. That's 2031. And then they want to do a Starfield sequel. Let's say they just keep with the sequel concept. 2036. And then they want to do an Elder Scrolls 7. 2041. That sounds insane. How old will you be in 17 years from now? Will you be able to enjoy that game in 17 years from now? Whether you're 17 years older, you're more in adulthood, you've got a family and other responsibilities. People sometimes tend to play less games as they get older. But also, people who are already in your 40s and 50s, are you going to play games when you're the age of your parents? And maybe chances are your parents didn't have you when you were 17. Maybe some of you did. But let's jump another 5 years on top of that, right? 23 years, 22 years in the future. Holy crap. That doesn't sound sustainable. That sounds like the kind of thing that you do if you want to lose your audience, because everyone ages out of your IP. Nobody really cares anymore. But if you can release updates every 2 to 3 years with massive, massive new places to go, that solves the problem. And so this picture becomes, what if they add in all of the zones? What if we have a world of Tamriel where we can go anywhere we want, similar to ESO, but in a game engine that works for single players, so that the focus can be your adventure, your world? And then there are some other things we can add into this. By the time Elder Scrolls 6 comes out, ESO will be a very old game. And I don't have the numbers, but my guess is that slowly over time, the MMO audience for games like ESO dwindles. I hoping they do great. I hope the game continues to do really well. But from a real world perspective, games like ESO probably have a general lifespan. Until they get to the point like Lord of the Rings Online, where they're just kind of on life support. Let's just call it life support. They're adding new things. They have a small development team, but they also have a small audience of real diehards that are there, and they just stick around. But for the most part, they're not working on stuff to pull new people into the game. That's not how they're marketing it. That's not where they're putting their money. But you know what would draw more people in? An Elder Scrolls 6 single-player game that works that way. Now, what if you took that concept and instead of looking at it from the perspective of Fallout 76. Like, let's find a way to put a whole bunch of people on a map so that everyone can play together. And then you can grind content together and you can do these games as service style, MMO style kind of end game things. What if you turn that on its head and we learned from Skyrim together, and in Elder Scrolls 6, you could add in one, two, maybe three friends who enter into your world. They play like a companion. They follow you around. Maybe there's even a leash. Maybe they have to be in the same zone you're in when you're in that zone. Maybe you as the main character, you load into a dungeon and they automatically load into the dungeon with you. So you don't have to have disjointed asynchronous play across different, very different places on the map. What if you can keep them tethered to the host so that you could play in somebody else's Skyrim world? Because it all works on the host. What if there's a way to do that? And now you have an experience that feels like Skyrim together, which is magical when it works, is not an MMO, doesn't have that end world grindy content, has continual regular updates, and you can play with your friends. What if they made all of that work? And what if getting your game to do this, I guess the other complication here is you load up the game, right? But who knows what mods you have? Who knows what DLC packs you have? Those kinds of things. What if there was a way for you and your friend to connect before you load up the game and for them to look at your game install, which Creation Club mods you loaded in, which DLC you have loaded in, and if they own those things, or maybe even if they don't own those things, their game makes a copy of that load order that already works for the core player, like mirrors it on their PC or their console. And then when they load up the game, it's 100% in sync because it's exactly the same files and maybe even the same save file from the host so that they can play together. Now, I'm not a developer, and I'm sure in my experience, having worked in product design for apps and things like this, most of the time when people do the thing that I'm doing right here now and they go, hey, what if we could do this? There are some very real reasons why those things won't work out. Yes, I get it. I get it. I might be throwing around ideas that just seem impossible because I don't understand everything that goes into this game engine and the design of it and all of that. But what if it was? And what if all the things I'm suggesting aren't possible, but yet the core platform idea with iterative content, new places to explore, new places to go, what if all of that was handled? And the last thing I'll say here is we've seen modders attempt this with varying degrees of success. Something like Fallout London is getting a lot of praise. A lot of people love Fallout London, but you have to jump through hoops to get it to work. It's difficult. You have to roll back your Fallout 4 install, make sure that the game is loaded correctly, and then run it. And even then, it can still be buggy. I mean, it's Fallout 4. Fallout 4 crashes for me if I play for like 3 hours straight. So that's one of the most successful examples of this. But then you have Beyond Skyrim, for example, or Skyblivion, where people are trying to do these very large world updates, adding new zones or refreshing content that existed in Elder Scrolls Oblivion and making that work in the Skyrim engine. But these are very, very big scale projects that require lots of people and clearly a lot of time. A lot of them have been in development for a decade now. A lot of times they fail before they even launch because people move on from the projects or they just lose passion in it or whatever. If you could take the need from the community to build these kinds of things and you still situate that on the developer so that we're getting these big zones, expansions, and things like that, and then the modders can tweak those details because those are done officially with the capacity of a full design team who's very familiar and becomes more and more and more familiar with the code, with the game engine, as they continue to iterate and design new areas, then that seems like the best of both worlds because now the modders can focus on smaller projects that enhance the base game the developers can focus on the big projects that give the modders and the players a much more and continuing expanding playground to play in. And on top of that, you don't have the weird justifications of like, well, okay, is Skyrim London canon and the kinds of discussions around that, which to me is kind of tedious at this point, but it makes it weird, right? Like, what if there's enough modders who are just adding in all of these other content, all of these other zones and things, and then Bethesda wants to create something in that zone as well? You know, like beyond Skyrim, what if they do Hammerfell? But now Bethesda's done Hammerfell. Well, it's a little bit of stepping on toes there. It's a little weird. This would solve all of that. So let me know what you think, because this vision for a future Elder Scrolls feels to me like it gives a lot of options. It gives a lot of room for improvement, a lot of content that a lot of people would buy and enjoy, and might be the future of role-playing games. MMOs don't feel like the future anymore. Games as service doesn't feel like the future anymore. In fact, if you look at the stats, the number of people who play something like Diablo 4 and ever group up with anybody is only like 15-20%. The people who play MMOs because they want to engage with their friends has dropped precipitously. The enjoyment of meeting other people in those environments, and Fallout 76 is an exception, because there are a lot of people who enjoy meeting people in Fallout 76 because the community is so positive. But outside of that one example, most of the time, people just kind of deal with having other people around. They don't embrace it. It's a something that's there, and it's beneficial if you want to do PvP, and it's beneficial if you really enjoy endgame content, but let's be honest, that endgame content, the dungeons, especially the hard versions of dungeons, the hard trials and things like that, are best done with a group of friends that you already have, because you don't get people who are just leaving or name calling or whatever. The engagement with strangers, I guess is what I'm saying, is something that we are all kind of wary of. But imagine an Elder Scrolls 6 where you and your friends, and you can just invite your friends in, and you can play through an expanding world, and you don't have to worry about any of that endgame stuff. You can just have a world that you live in. Let me know what your thoughts are. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Chime in on the Discord or on the Patreon, and we'll be back next week. Hopefully Lotus will be able to join for the show. If not, I totally get it. Having a basically week old infant is not an easy task. I've been through that. So congratulations again to Lotus. And thank you everyone for tuning in and continuing to support the show. We will see you next week, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. See you later.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this, and join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.